Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Good evening, God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to episode 2309, the ninth podcast of 2023 here at Radio Free Redoubt. This is the weekly podcast. Welcome to all. Looks like the Podbean live streaming is going to be our venue from this point forward. A lot of troubleshooting and reconfiguring in the studio and all kinds of good stuff. So anyway, that's the technical side of things that you guys don't care about. We're going to talk about what you care about. Although we did have Glenn Tate scheduled this Sunday, but he had a scheduling conflict come up. So we are going to do that next week for episode 2310. We'll have Glenn Tate, the author of the 299 Days book series, to get him to weigh in on all of the chaos that's going on with the clown show today and the slow rolling collapse that we're seeing going on. There's no single catastrophic event, no EMP, but nevertheless descending into chaos. So anyway, we will get into the news. And before that, tonight what I am going to talk about is the Trojan horse Chinese intelligence weapon called TikTok and the dangers of that. Now, I know recently there were some proposals to introduce a TikTok ban, which was an open door for banning all kinds of things, from VPNs to encryption to any app that they deem fitting to ban, and nowhere in any of the language was TikTok put. But that is a very serious danger to our society, and I'm going to talk about why and really what should be done about it, as opposed to a congressional, another law being passed. But anyway, that's what I'm going to talk about tonight in segment 2 and 3. So stick around for that. Have Codename segment 4 joining me in segment 4. So without further ado, let's get into the news and commentary. Prepping 2.0 with Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher, helping to take your preps to the next level. Prepping 2.0. And the website is prepping2-0.com. All right, first of all, we're all holding our breath because under this administration, now we have our third embassy being evacuated. And of course, we're concerned anytime this regime has anything to do with foreign policy, but hats off to our special operators who are on the ground. Hopefully, Biden was involved as very little as possible, if at all, other than making him nod so that he could give the go-ahead. But otherwise, they cleared out the embassy. According to Reuters, all U.S. government personnel were evacuated from Washington's embassy in Khartoum. That's the capital of Sudan. As well as a small number of diplomatic personnel from other countries, U.S. officials said on Saturday, as fighting rocks Sudan. The operation evacuated fewer than 100 people, the officials told reporters. They said, we evacuated all of the U.S. personnel and dependents assigned to the embassy in Khartoum. And the evacuation operation conducted on Saturday involved just over 100 U.S. Special Operations Forces, began at 3 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time, when U.S. aircraft, including 3 Chinook transport helicopters, took off from a base in Djibouti. We saw that coming. That was they were stacking up there during the week leading up to this. They stopped in Ethiopia to refuel, then flew the last 3 hours to Khartoum. U.S. forces spent just an hour on the ground in Sudan before taking off again, entering and exiting Sudan without being fired upon by the warring factions on the ground. Yeah, probably because they said, hey, we're coming, and if one person fires a BB gun at one of our aircraft, we're going to come in there and annihilate you. So everybody behaved. The United States got their people out safely. But this is very interesting from a Christian perspective, because prophecy shows that Sudan, which was listed as Ethiopia in the Bible, but which is today's modern-day Sudan, will be one of the many nations that will come against Israel who will be annihilated in the attempt. And as we're watching end times prophecy unfold and getting closer and closer to that, we should be seeing these countries aligning with each other and against Israel. But what we saw this over the last year was Sudan was actually warming up to Israel, talking about cooperation and working together and partnering. And so that seems kind of off. There should be conflict there that brewing. Well, this just could be the thing that does it. And I said, something's going to happen. Something's going to happen to shift things where Sudan will be adversarial toward Israel. And right now we've got two warring factions, and this Islamic, he's way out there, Islamic general that's challenging the current army. And it's pretty fierce fighting right now. So that could be the thing that puts an anti-Israeli regime in place, another piece, another domino getting set up for the times that we are fast approaching. I thought that was newsworthy. But from whatfinger.com, very interesting. Hungary's Orbán, the President Orbán, pushes back against claims of NATO agreements on Ukraine admission. They keep trying. These globalists just keep trying. Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orbán has taken issue with the NATO chief, Jens Stoltenberg, the globalist, World Economic Forum globalist, his claim that all members of NATO agreed to admit Ukraine into the Western military alliance. Orbán tweeted, "What?" in response to a news article citing Stoltenberg's comments that all 31 member states were in agreement on allowing Ukraine to join NATO. Hungary is a member state of the alliance and has veto power over any new admission. And while it supported the recent admission of Finland into NATO, Hungary has been hesitant to extend the same to neighboring Sweden due to its criticism of Budapest's conservative agenda. And we often call Hungary the European redoubt. It is a Christian nation. It is in their constitution. They have sealed their borders along with the Czech Republic and Poland, stopping the influx, this wave of invading Muslims into Europe. Of course, much to the ire of the European Union, who's continuously wagging their finger at those three countries for not taking their fair share of Muslim refugees, calling them racists, which Islam is not a race. Anyway, the countries that have opened their arms and embraced this invasion now have parts of their country they cannot even go into. The rape epidemic is off the charts, and now they're doing the Muslim call to prayer in traditional European cities, taking over churches and turning them into mosques. That's an invasion. And the immigrants who went into Europe said, "We are taking over." They've come right out and said it openly on the news, being interviewed, proud of it. And your unbelieving women are fair game to us, according to the teachings. Now, from the post-millennial, President Joe Biden signed an executive order on Friday prioritizing so-called environmental justice across federal agencies, while also forcing agencies to be subjected to an environmental scorecard. These people are, they are on the move with this agenda. The order establishes a White House office. What a waste of resources and money. Of environmental justice, headed by a federal chief environmental justice officer who will oversee environmental justice goals throughout the government. This is like a novel. It's hard to believe this is even real. These are the type of government programs and positions you would expect to see caricaturized, inspired by East Germany, Soviet era governance. But this is in America. The order says it will focus on ensuring that lower income people and minorities are not subjected to disproportionate environmental harms, especially those stemming from a legacy of racial discrimination, including redlining. The order will require agencies to notify nearby communities in the event of a release of toxic substances from a federal facility and directs agencies to address gaps in science, data, and research related to environmental justice. Wasn't it Kamala Harris said that the hurricane response in Florida, the aid should be focused on minority neighborhoods? That's where all the help should be going. You know, we had gotten past all this racial garbage, and we were actually getting along well, and everybody's moving along in prosperity and the American dream until Obama came along. And these guys, well, we know what they're made of. From Fox News, illegal aliens who are LGBTQ may not be detained under this new Democrat-led bill. Dozens of Democrats in the House and Senate introduced legislation last week that would make it harder to hold illegal aliens in custody if they qualified as a vulnerable person, such as those who are gay, lesbian, or transgender, who don't speak English, or who meet other definitions of the term under the bill. And no, this is not satire. No, this is not out of a novel. This is out of the news in the United States of America today. From Breitbart News, Bush, Obama, Clinton team, or the Clintons, Clinton, so these three former presidents, team up with American Express to fly migrants into American communities. I'm not kidding. Breitbart. And from Revolver News, Biden regime's seven-year prison sentence for Green Beret January 6th whistleblower reopens festering wounds of Fedsurrection lie. If you guys didn't know about this, this is absolutely preposterous. A U.S. District Judge Susan Bucklew sentenced Jeremy Brown, 48 years old, to 7 years and 3 months in federal prison to be followed by 3 years of supervised release for possession of unregistered short-barreled firearms, possession of unregistered explosive grenades, and improper storage of explosive grenades, and retention of classified information. Now, there's more to this story I don't have time to get into here just in the news and commentary. But this former Special Forces soldier alerted the world and the Patriot community when the FBI approached him, asking him to infiltrate Patriot groups prior to January 6th and become an informant. He told them to pound sand, and he went public with it. Well, then he gets raided. He was there on January 6th, not as an informant, but in this raid, because of him being on the grounds on January 6th, they raided him and discovered some weapons. I'm not sure about all of the details of that. But basically, this is politically motivated, punishing somebody for refusing to be a snitch for the corrupt and out of control FBI. Unbelievable. Lift this guy up in your prayers. He's a patriot. He served our country. He's a special forces soldier. And now he's going to prison for up to 7 years. So, anyway, that's about all I want to go into at this time for that. And keep the January 6th prisoners in your prayers as well. Here's one from the American Redoubt. From a Christian university, the Gateway Pundit reported on this. The student government at Whitworth University in Spokane, Washington, rejects a campus speaker who survived Mao Zedong, communist revolution in China. The conservative student group Turning Point USA at Whitworth University in Washington State invited Xi Van Fleet to speak on campus, but the student government at the school rejected the event. What's the problem? Is the left-wing student government afraid that students at the school might learn what life is really like under a communist regime? Oh, by the way, Whitworth is a quote-unquote Christian school. So, the student government at Whitworth University voted to reject a speaker who survived communism under Mao Zedong and criticizes woke culture for suppressing opposing ideas. During the meeting, the Associated Students of Whitworth University, ASWU, voted 9-4 against hosting Xi Van Fleet on campus. She immigrated from Maoist China to the U.S. and draws parallels between the Chinese Cultural Revolution and what she calls the Woke Revolution, according to a description of her book, Mao's America, A Survivor's Warning. Wu is a Washington University, Whitworth, is a private Christian university in Spokane, Washington, and the president of Turning Point USA, Grace Steiger, chapter, spoke at an earlier meeting about the organization's intention to host Van Fleet. The planned sponsor for her speaking engagement, the Leadership Institute, is the parent organization of Campus Reform. And she said, we want her to tell her story. Steiger says that when ASWU members voted against Van Fleet during the next meeting, they objected to her tweets because they were fearful of her bringing views to campus that would be hurtful or offensive. You don't want to hurt or offend communists, right? In the meeting minutes, the tweets in question criticize diversity, equity, and inclusion, DEI, they call it. It criticizes diversity, equity, and inclusion, Black Lives Matter, another communist front group, and other social justice movements. So, Xi Van Fleet tweeted, I am deeply thankful today, 35 years ago, my dream came true. I was granted a student visa to come to USA. I no longer feel this is the America that I arrived in. She has been under attack by Marxism and communism that I had escaped from. That's why I am fighting to save her. Like I've often said, you won't find usually a stronger patriot than someone who fled oppression to come to the United States. And I got something from the Family Research Council. Last year, Congress voted to redefine marriage, exposing Americans with a religious belief or moral conviction that marriage is or ought to be between a man and a woman to even more targeted attacks for their sincerely held beliefs in man-woman marriage. Now we're just beginning to see the fruits of this decision with new cases popping up and some prior victims being put through the ringer yet again. Will you contact Representative Fulcher now and urge protection for Americans? And so, let me fast forward. Cross Point Church in Maine is taking a stand in the fight for biblical marriage and sexuality. The church operates Bangor Christian Schools. Recently, the church filed a complaint in the U.S. District Court in response to a recently enacted law for Maine's school choice program. So they're being cut out of the school choice program. The law requires that Christian schools recognize sexual orientation or gender identity. This right here is where the rubber meets the road, Christian patriots. They've got the purse strings, and they're trying to use that to coerce Christians to compromise on biblical faith and biblical truths. No wonder people who fled communism come here and say this is not America. This forces schools like Bangor Christian to either reject the truth that marriage is between a man and a woman and that gender is defined by biology, or forego participation in a program vital to the students. This policy, despite its name, directly discriminates against schools, just like the one run by Cross Point Church, from participating in the program because of their beliefs on marriage and sexuality. So contact your elected officials, your congressmen, and tell them to support. They said, thankfully, Representative Chip Roy is leading the charge to establish protections for such marriage beliefs by making sure that federal funds are not used to discriminate against sincere people of faith. Amen. Get behind this. And get behind Representative Chip Roy in this effort to protect our fundamental faith and the cornerstone to our republic. That's our Christian faith. Anyway, we'll be back. Oh, man, I've got a really good one, too, from Redoubt Report. See if I can pull this up in time. It's getting ready for the violence. And it's a story that they did on Black Lives Matter and the rising violence and the call for violence from all of these leftist groups. And where we're headed, if this continues, you're going to see violence, just gratuitous, wanton violence, really take over our streets. And this is, like I said, these are leftist communist front groups that are stirring this up. But go to Redoubt Report and find that article on preparing for the coming violence. Really good. All right, we'll take a break, come back. Segment two, we'll get into the Trojan horse called TikTok and the dangers of it to you and me and to our republic. Stay right there. This is the voice of the American Redoubt.
Have you ever boarded a plane and thought to yourself, I hope the pilot is a transgender refugee? Have you ever gone to the emergency room and said, I hope my medical team is incredibly diverse? Have you ever moved to a new city and said, I hope the police department hit its equity goals for the year? If your answer to these questions was no, if you just wanted the most qualified candidates for the job, then you are normal. But we have a lot of very not normal people running America these days. Left-wing politicians believe skin color or gender identity should determine who gets the job. Democrats used to care about the middle class. Now they just care about your race and your gender.
You know what woke means? It means you're a loser. Everything woke turns to shit, okay?
Are you prepared to defend yourself in the dark? A weapon light helps you identify and even deter threats in low light. But it can be difficult to find a secure and comfortable holster. At Works, we design and build holsters for Glock and Sig Sauer pistols with lights. Our precision fit holsters will help you carry with confidence so you're ready to defend yourself day and night. Go to worksholsters.com. Find your gun and light in our holster finder. Select your preferred carry style and order your holster today.
Yeah. Welcome back to Radio Free Redoubt. This is segment two. And in segment two, we are going to start getting into this topic of TikTok. Now, as you know, you've seen it in the news, TikTok is this national security threat. So Congress is going to respond with Josh Hawley leading the charge on entering some legislation to ban TikTok. So far, so good. Well, then we find out what the language is. TikTok's not mentioned at all. TikTok absolutely is a national security threat. And I'm going to talk about why. It's more than just spying on you and tracking you and activating your camera and recording your voice and knowing who you talk to and who you text. Because a lot of people's attitudes are, well, I don't have anything to hide. I ain't worried. They already know everything about me anyway, so I don't care. Well, somebody, a listener, wrote, if this abomination of a restrict bill passes, the regime will have carte blanche to declare encryption, comms, software, VPNs, PGP encryption, and other such tools as a terrorist tool and national threats. So I agree on revisiting and emphasizing one-time pads. That's the last fallback and lends itself to low-tech operations. Well, most of the people in this listening audience are familiar with OTPs or one-time pads. Now, you could ban encryption, but that's like banning fire and making everybody register their Bic lighters. Well, there are 1,000 other ways you can build a fire without buying a Bic lighter, right? Same thing with encryption. Any two people can work up an encryption algorithm or program agreement between the two and pass messages that nobody else can read. One-time pads are perfect for that. Unbreakable encryption, if done properly. And it's pen and paper. It doesn't have to be connected to a computer. But getting caught with that could one day lead to, you know, that could be an incriminating thing. But let's talk about TikTok, first of all, so we understand what it is and why it's a threat. First of all, it's so widely used. Many, many people in our military use it. And their families use it. Their kids, their wives. All of this is tracking software. I mean, when you've got troops that are deploying or going to the field for training, so much can be gleaned from this. That's the right up front, duh. That's a no-brainer. We all can understand that. Well, several members of our government, including Congress, have been using TikTok. And there's just there are so many problems with this, but you've got to understand, and I'm going to talk about this in a little bit, the Chinese see everything as a battlefield. They look at the entire world completely different than most Westerners do. And TikTok, a social media platform, being used for influencing operations, is what the FBI calls it, and several people in the FBI have warned against it. Now, I know the FBI is under a corrupt leadership, but there are some good people in the FBI and some people that do understand what's going on. And they're trying to warn people. But this is absolutely a weaponized software social media medium. There's an article, Parents Together with Action. Warning, new research reveals violent, dangerous TikTok content parents can't monitor. This is primarily for influence operations. And this is targeting the rest of the world, not necessarily just the West, but heavily targeting the West. I'm talking about Europe, Australia, Canada, the United States, Western, traditionally Christian cultures, but the West, the primary adversary to China. So, global social media platform TikTok has more than 1.1 billion users, one-third of which are underage, and is commonly considered the most popular social media platform for kids and teens. Unlike other social platforms where users choose what people, accounts, or hashtags to follow, TikTok uses an opaque algorithm to recommend content to their For You page. This gives both kids and parents less control over what content their children see on TikTok. This is intentional. Remember, we're talking about the communist Chinese who see everything as a battlefield. And our children are a battlefield. The children in our country. Racist content is endemic. ISD identified hundreds of videos promoting white supremacy, expressing support for extremists or terrorists, and embracing Holocaust denial, yada yada. Content creators promoting hate and extremism are successfully using TikTok's internal tools to show more people their content. TikTok hate speech creators avoid takedowns with simple tactics. TikTok is the most used platform for children, with the average child using it for 105 minutes a day. The combination of extremist and dangerous content, young child and teen users, and a total lack of transparency for parents creates a unique threat to kids on TikTok. So this is not just about hate speech and white supremacy. That's the way they're writing this article. Those are nice, safe enemies for us to talk about, to warn. But what's happening, really, what they're influencing our children toward is much more insidious. So here's some of the headlines from TikTok, Yahoo News. TikTok's blackout challenge linked to the deaths of 20 children in 18 states. Actually, more than that now. Way more than that. But what they do is they influence these kids with these things that go viral, these challenges, these devious licks is what they're called. It could be stealing something. It could be hurting somebody. Whatever it is, these challenges, and then they go viral. So now they've got all these kids doing the blackout challenge, where you either choke the other one out, or you hold your own breath, or do something to make yourself pass out. Well, 20 kids have died because of this, because it became so popular on TikTok. The most dangerous TikTok challenges we've seen so far, the hot water challenge. Another dangerous challenge, how hot of water can you immerse yourself in or pour on yourself? Seriously. And this goes viral. These kids video themselves. Another dangerous challenge that can lead to severe burns and injury. The hot water challenge has been around for a while, back in 2017. In fact, an 8-year-old girl died. This next one, the car challenge. Thefts have just gone off the charts. People are participating in a TikTok challenge that requires them to steal cars using objects that can be found at home. Many modern cars have push start buttons that turn on a vehicle. Of course, the Kias and what was the other one I'm trying to think of here? A huge rash of car thefts. Elementary school teacher assaulted by pupil in a slap TikTok challenge. This follows on from the recent devious licks trend, which led to the theft and damage of school property before TikTok took action to remove any content challenging people to trash the bathrooms in their schools, right? I mean, thousands and thousands of dollars worth of damage. But then they got this slap challenge where you slap somebody in authority, like a school teacher, and you video it, right? And upload it, and then it goes viral. Now all these kids are hitting their teachers. Nationwide TikTok challenge causes several school districts to take action. Heightened precautions and putting out warnings to their teachers. It's unclear where the TikTok school threat on December 17th emerged, but the challenge suggests that, you know, they do damage or hurt people. They've got the knockout games. TikTok has linked to dozens of deaths worldwide as teens post suicide notices. TikTok's a global social media that lets them create short videos with music and camera effects. It's owned by Beijing-based ByteDance and was originally released in 2016. There are several videos on this. This one I want to play for you, a little bit of this audio from this YouTube video that was put up by Upper Echelon. and I'll put the link in the highlights and resources posting. You can go to YouTube yourself, and you can go to TikTok is destroying a generation and comma upper echelon. Upper echelon is the name of the YouTuber. Listen to this.
Scams, disgusting trends, or child predation even, but I realize that the actual problem is much more broad. The functionality of TikTok is designed for rapid digestion. Videos are short, between 15 and 60 seconds, though users tend to watch even just a much smaller segment of that already condensed format. The application spurs tremendous engagement, and users are spending, on average, over 80 minutes at least per day on this one platform alone. From the very beginning, it was marketed at children. The founders understood their primary demographic and targeted them very effectively, more recently even being hit with widespread legal action in Europe over their hidden initiatives to target minors on the platform for various challenges and advertising. Most importantly, in late December of 2021, according to Cloudflare, TikTok officially surpassed Google as the most visited domain name on planet Earth. Conceptually, that is alarming because Google, maintaining its dominance for an extended period of time, is a portal to nearly every other popular website in existence. Yet TikTok, as a domain name, surpassed even the utility of finding other content through a search engine in popularity. Not to mention the existence of Google Maps, Google Photos, email, news, etc., which are all factored into that calculation. TikTok boasts over a billion users. Its primary traffic is contained right now to the United States for the moment, but it operates globally with a rapidly growing footprint. The short-form content seems to have a direct impact on attention span, decreasing it in a noticeable way. The application has been aimed at a youthful demographic since day one, very deliberately, and successfully influenced their behavior, their physical behavior, on more than one occasion, up to and including movement disorders like behavioral tics. Shorter attention spans increase the relative risk for users of social media, which means, right, and bear with me here, that TikTok simultaneously decreases one's attention span, impacts their behavior, and serves as a platform where the social media risk factors of a decreased attention span can be experienced and realized. TikTok exacerbates, then fulfills the problem at the same time in a closed loop, and the average time that children spend on the platform is rapidly increasing every day, dethroning even Google as the most popular website on the planet. TikTok has become an epicenter of provocative trends. Remember how the company is under fire in Europe, legally speaking, for its targeted advertising at children and the challenges? Yeah, I'm talking about those. Recently, even including a widespread threat of violence in the United States. The trend started as a plea for children to stay home from school in mid-December because there might be something going on, and evolved to include bomb threats and other inflammatory content, triggering an actual police response all across the entire country, which equates to a legitimate, measurable, and significant waste of resources. TikTok trends and activity challenges have included things like the blackout challenge, where children were tasked with holding their breath until they fainted. There was the penny challenge, where kids were pushing pennies behind partially plugged in phone chargers, which can have many dangerous results, or even the tooth file challenge, where videos went viral of children filing their own teeth and causing permanent damage. More so than probably any other social media platform entirely, TikTok is capable of modifying behavior. At the same time, it shortens attention spans and then triggers the intrinsic dangers of social media for those with attention control issues, making it a one-stop shop for nearly every single thing that should not be happening online for 100 million children. In fact, as per the most recent numbers that I could find, TikTok's user base likely contains something like 600 million children, including 63% of American teenagers ages 12 to 17, actively using the platform. All of this ignores other fundamental problems with the app, like an unregulated and highly sexualized environment that awards behavior that any good parent would rightly condemn. But rather than talking mostly about specifics this time, I want to focus on the more intrinsic dangers of this platform, because TikTok has become the most popular digital environment on Earth when it comes to youth engagement. And that engagement is a self-reinforcing spiral of negative effects. This does not mean that every single piece of content on TikTok
All right, that's enough. You get the point. You can watch that entire video, but there's more. The sexualization, the transgender normalization of this sexual dysphoria and confusion is really cultivated on the app, and also suicides. Bloomberg has a report, the TikTok effects on mental health in focus after teen suicides. TikTok's algorithm keeps pushing suicide to vulnerable kids. The super popular app can serve up a stream of anxiety and despair to teens, which is precisely what it is designed to do. It's engineered to do this. TikTok says it's making improvements, but now faces a flood of lawsuits after multiple deaths. These are kids committing suicide, and tied in with TikTok that's pushing the anxiety, the despair, there's no way out, there's only one solution, and pushing the suicide, and it's having the intended results. But here's something interesting. TikTok is a Chinese-owned company, but there's no TikTok in China. Did you know that? It's mostly in America, but then also in some of the other Western countries as well. Like I mentioned, Canada, Australia, Europe. So if this is a Chinese app, why isn't TikTok in China too? Well, they do have their own version. It's called Douyin. It's different. And I'll talk about that. And I am convinced this ties in with a document that we've talked about before. But only these guys couldn't even have conceived it when they wrote this document in 1999. Unrestricted warfare. I'm going to talk about unrestricted warfare, where technology is gone, since that thesis, if you will, was first drafted. Chinese mindset on being at war with the world and using everything as a battlefield. Then along comes social media. So the concept is still there, and it's just been adapted to fit the modern technology. Even though there's these military academies saying it is not a model for warfare by China, BS. It absolutely is. And we better be paying attention to it. They're targeting the kids for a reason. So this is not just about tracking you and finding out where you've been and where you went and had a hamburger. It's much more insidious than that. We'll talk about that after the break. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt. Stay right there.
There is an exodus happening in America today, from cities full of crime and corruption to the rural areas of clean and sustainable living. Like-minded patriots are coming to North Idaho in search of a simpler, self-reliant lifestyle. I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's great redoubt, North Idaho. Sometimes God puts you somewhere for a special reason. For me, I believe it's to help like-minded patriots find safety and security for their loved ones. At Revolutionary Realty, we educate buyers about solar power, growing food, obtaining water, and personal security. I became a realtor in 2008 at the bottom of the real estate market, but not the top. I believe that there is a grand plan and that I'm just a part of it. My job is to help people discover and relocate to America's great redoubt. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776 or visit us at revrealty.us to learn more. That's www.revrealty.us, and God bless you.
Whatever happened to the fear of God? Whatever happened to church on Sunday? Whatever happened to the velvet glove and the iron fist? Good old-fashioned brutality.
Welcome back, Patriots, to segment 3 of the Sunday Night Podcast, episode 23. This is still 2023. And this is episode 9. All right. And by the way, you know, thank you for our commercial sponsors, but also thank you to those of you who support us. You know, this is really almost completely listener supported. If you want to support what we do, just with just $5 or $10 a month, it all adds up, and we appreciate it. And we appreciate those of you who do help us out. But if you'd like to do that, then you can go to radiofreeredoubt.com and click on the Donate to RFR tab. That'll open up the page where you can learn all of the different ways that you can support us. All right, now, I ended segment two asking, hey, if this is a Chinese app, why isn't TikTok in China? Well, there is a reason for that. Now, I have talked about this document that was written in 1999, and it's called Unrestricted Warfare. Now, I have a link here. It's waronthrocks.com. Waronthrocks.com. They've got an article here that was posted in 2016. And also, I have a link. If you want to get the PDF, and every patriot should have this, to understand your enemy, to get inside of his head, you need to read Unrestricted Warfare. There's a free PDF that's available at C4I.org. So you can just C4I, Charlie for India, C4I.org, unrestricted.pdf. So www.c4i.org/unrestricted.pdf. Now, let me take you back to this article here at War on the Rocks, which was written by David Barno and Nora Bensahel in 2016. In 1999, two Chinese colonels wrote a book called Unrestricted Warfare about warfare in the age of globalism. Their main argument, warfare in the modern world will no longer be primarily a struggle defined by military means or even involve the military at all. They were about a decade and a half before their time. Colonels Quao Liang and Wang Zhengsui argued that war was no longer about using armed forces to compel the enemy to submit to one's will, in the classic Clausewitzian sense. Rather, they asserted that war had evolved to using all means, including armed force or non-armed force, military and non-military, and lethal and non-lethal means to compel the enemy to accept one's interests. The barrier between soldiers and civilians would fundamentally be erased because the battle would be everywhere. The number of new battlefields would be virtually infinite and could include environmental warfare, financial warfare, trade warfare, cultural warfare, and legal warfare, to name just a few. They wrote of assassinating financial speculators to safeguard a nation's financial security, setting up slush funds to influence opponents' legislatures and governments, and buying controlling shares of stocks to convert an adversary's major television and newspaper outlets into tools of media warfare. Have we not seen this? China buying up these media companies? Now look, they basically are producing, or they have their hands involved in just about everything coming out of Hollywood now. According to the editor's note, Quao argued in a subsequent interview that the first rule of unrestricted warfare is that there are no rules, with nothing forbidden. That vision clearly transcends any traditional notions of war. But Quao and Wang argued that the battlefield had fundamentally changed. It was no longer a place where militaries met and fought. Instead, society itself was now the battlefield. Future wars would inevitably encompass attacks on all elements of society without limits. Military battles resembling those of 1991, referring to the Desert Storm, might become secondary elements of conflict, if they even occur at all. This was written before TikTok. before social media. This was written before Chinese retired generals started buying up farmland and mass amounts of land near key military bases. This is, regardless of what any American military training academy says publicly about this unrestricted warfare, is not China's national security military strategy. Somebody is either, they lacked discernment, or they're part of the enemy putting out disinformation. I don't mean misinformation. I mean disinformation, intentionally deceiving the audience. And if they're not intentionally, these military writers for these academies that are trying to say that China is not engaged in total warfare, in unrestricted warfare, using this model that was laid out by these two colonels, then they need to be doing something else for a living, because they lack discernment. Because what the Chinese are doing are precisely total warfare, unrestricted warfare, and everything is a battlefield, including, if not especially, the internet and social media, or media in general. So the Chinese do have their own version of TikTok, and it's called Douyin, but there are some differences. It has a teenage mode that will limit the amount of time children under the age of 14 spend on the short-form video app to just 40 minutes a day. The measure will apply to all Douyin users under the age of 14 who have registered for the app using their real names, Beijing-based ByteDance announced in a statement on Saturday. Douyin will also be unavailable to those users between 10 p.m. and 6 a.m., the owner of TikTok and Douyin added. So, same people, same owner, different apps, different target markets. The company also urged parents to help their children register with real names or otherwise manually enable teenage mode. ByteDance did not immediately respond to a question from CNN Business about how it might enforce the policy for those who don't use their real names. And CNN Business has this breakdown. The app said that it would introduce new content ranging from science experiments and museums to art gallery exhibition and natural scenery to inspire young teens. Limiting usage of Douyin is a proactive measure by ByteDance to get ahead of potential regulations. Self-assessment, now this is what they're trying to achieve by the teenage and kid child users in China. Self-assessment and voluntary implementation of minor protection measures by more platforms could help suggest platforms are being more socially responsible and potentially reassure parents and regulators. That's China, not America and the West TikTok. Chinese regulators have already started pressuring tech companies to curb the amount of time minors can spend on the services. In June, China revised this minor protection law, which requires internet service providers, including social media apps, to set up corresponding functions such as time management, content restriction, and consumption limits for minors. In China, they are pushed towards science, creativity, nationalism, pride in the Chinese people and tradition, and education. In the United States, they are creating chaos, messages of despair and suicide, drugs, fentanyl, these challenges, these deviant lick challenges for stealing cars, physically assaulting teachers, calling in bomb threats or active shooter threats. Simultaneously, all across the country, it goes viral, and then you have several dozen active shooter reports that police are responding to in the United States. The knockout game. To video yourself coming up to a total stranger, sucker punching them to see if you can knock them out, and videoing it and it goes viral. This is the stuff that is going viral in the West. And meanwhile, in China, they're getting messages of nationalism, pride, responsibility, economics, and other life skills. They place a lot of emphasis on life skills, like financial management and learning skills, respect for authority, these kind of things. Completely different. But in the West, it's all about creating chaos. There's a white paper that Stanford produced. You can go to cyber.fsi.stanford.edu. You can look this up. It is a white paper. China's overt propaganda apparatus is robust in managing both inward and outward facing messaging remains a top priority for the CCP, the Communist Chinese Party. This apparatus rests on the two pillars of the Central Propaganda Department, the CPD, and the United Front, which coordinates with state organs and manages influence groups outside the party. These are what the FBI identified as influence operations or influencing operations. It is having a major societal impact and effect with measurable results in drug usage, sexual deviancy, crime, car thefts, violence, you name it. All for entertainment in small 15 to 60 second sound bites, influencing millions of kids. This is a national security threat. It goes far above and beyond gauging all of the contents and the activities of service members who are deployed and their family members. It goes far beyond that. The solution is not legislation. I know a lot of libertarians and many conservatives are saying, oh no, you're not going to ban TikTok. Now, this is not because we love TikTok. This is because in their legislation, even conservative Republicans proposed, TikTok wasn't even mentioned. It mentioned anything that could be used to obscure messages that could be used for, by, you know, extremism, blah, 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 blah. I mean, it covered everything. The potential there is the loss of VPNs, encryption, privacy, everything else. So the government can have a backdoor to everything to make sure you're not doing something TikTok-ish, right? This is their answer for going after TikTok. That's not the answer. It should be banned at the federal, all government entities. If you are in a position of government, especially if you're using a government-issued phone, you don't have TikTok on it. Banned. Right now, as a private individual, they could take the same money that they would use to enforce a TikTok ban, and they need to put that into a public service information campaign to educate people on the dangers of this so that they can choose to avoid using TikTok because they understand the dangers of it. This is an education issue. People need to be informed about the dangers of this type of unrestricted warfare weapon. TikTok is just one example of a Trojan horse that's in our culture that we need to get out. And that needs to happen at the citizen level. This government has proven it cannot be trusted with more authority, more restrictions, more laws, and more power. We need to be empowered as people by being informed about this Trojan horse, and it needs to be wholesale rejected. And as parents, we need to take control of this from our kids because we owe it to them and our country. We'll be back with segment four right after this.
Now maybe.
Hi everyone, this is John Jacob Schmidt, here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Follow him through his real-life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Then, let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more. Welcome back to the fourth and final segment here of Radio Free Redoubt. And segment four brings in code names. Segment four, Lady Liberty. Good evening.
Well, good evening to you. Good evening, everyone out there. My gosh, it's good to be back on Sunday night.
Yes, you know? It is. Yeah. After, it's our flagship.
After having so many weeks of technical difficulties where... Stream Monster just flat out, I don't know, they had our number off. They said, we're going to refuse to do anything for you guys.
Yeah, is this our first episode of shadow banning, our first experience, our first brush with it? Their customer service wouldn't respond. But you know what? It's better now. We've upgraded our internet.
That's right.
Podbean has done, they've treated us great for, in June, it's going to be 12 years Radio Free Redoubt Sunday Night Podcast.
Fantastic.
Unbelievable. I can't believe it. So had no idea where all this would go. But Podbean from now on, it's gonna be our live stream platform something changes.
It works really well. Yep. So and plus it's cheaper. So you can't beat that.
Right. Right.
All the way around.
Yeah, that's a help. So, Lady Liberty, what do you got for us for segment four? Some great content?
Well, as you know, my whole focus ever since like 2007 has been about the United Nations.
Yes.
And so...
You wrote a book about it.
Right. Right. And so anything that is United Nations related really gets my hackles up, you know?
Yes.
I mean, they are truly the core of... the shadow government that we have, because that's what the shadow government is. It's the United Nations governance infrastructure set up right alongside our existing legal framework, which is why we have a clash of legal systems right now.
Talking about influence operations.
Boy,
oh my goodness.
You're not kidding. Yeah. And so I ran across this article that the UN has nothing good going on at all.
Should be dismantled.
But I totally agree. They have no right to have a building in this nation. They should evacuated immediately. But this article is titled "The United Nations to Hand Out Hundreds of Millions in Cash to U.S. Bound Immigrants in 2023."
What?
And it says here that UN organized cash working groups. Our key to the new White House border management plan that pre-legalizes immigrants before they can jump the border. And so, you know, we've got Marjorie Taylor Greene down there that is really exposing how horrible it is down there and how Mayorkas is just a total shill, you know. And she's been letting him have it in all of their investigations, in their congressional hearings. And, all of the good GOP congressmen are letting Mayorkas have it. And he's just sitting there so smug because he knows exactly what the United Nations has going on with their plan to bring all of these people into the United States illegally.
Well, down there in the Darien.
And to pay them for it.
Yeah, the Darien Gap. They're giving them U.S. dollar funded United Nations maps, and the Red Cross is in on it too.
Right.
Telling them where to cross, what to say if you get caught, or not even getting caught. It's like once you get in, then you find a Border Patrol agent and you go, because you're going to get food and shelter, right?
Right.
You find a Border Patrol agent and say, I am here. I'm turning myself in. I'm looking for... amnesty, right?
Right.
And I'm a refugee fleeing, you know, oppression.
Oh, it's ridiculous. And so, first of all, they're coming here illegally.
And
you know, the UN is paying them to come here illegally. I just, you know, it's not only is it an illegal invasion, but some other foreign governance is paying their way to do it.
And you got Bush, you got Obama, and you've got Clinton all working with American Express to fly these illegals into American cities.
Right.
Deep into the heartland. And, oh, by the way, too, they can't, now they can't, if this bill goes through, the Democrats just put in, they can't detain LGBTQT+SW spirit, whatever.
Right.
Right. You can't detain them because they're classified as vulnerable persons, so they can't be detained.
Well, we've totally gone off the ledge
in clown world.
It's not even, I don't even know where to start or stop with this thing, because do we just have a free-for-all? I don't think that if nobody else has to obey the laws, why should the Republicans? The Republican people are the only people left in this nation that are following the laws.
Right.
You know, and the fact that the communist coup isn't following the laws, they must be laughing behind closed doors.
Actually, it's just the Republicans who are the only ones that get prosecuted when they break the law.
Oh, right, exactly. Exactly. This article here says that in Monterrey, Mexico, the director of this country's largest immigrant shelter worked himself into a peak of outrage, recalling the largesse of a United Nations program that, unknown to most Americans, has been showering millions of dollars in cash to help foreign nationals on their way to cross the U.S. southern border. CASA INDI shelter director. The CASA INDI shelter director, Jose Jamie Selena Flores, was recounting the recent case of an immigrant mother staying with three daughters at his facility who demanded that Flores help arrange a UN raise above the 6,000 pesos a month the UN already gave her on a debit card, which is the equivalent of about US $300, and which she thought was insufficient while she planned the journey over America's border. And so there's centers, there's UN centers down there in Mexico housing all of these people in these shelters and paying them so they can prepare to come on over. And so, you know, it would not be hard to block all of this. None of this would be hard. And, you know, like you and I were saying before, all of these problems have very simple solutions. It's just that now we have nobody that will uphold the law. Mayorkas, for example. I mean, I'm really, really hoping to see his head roll when they decide to actually impeach him.
I'm at the point where I'm so sick of the Republicans. Josh Hawley, Marjorie Taylor Greene, all these people bark, 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 bark. What are you going to, why in the heck is that prison still operational in D.C.?
I don't know.
Why are the January 6th prisoners still there?
Right.
Why do we still have the voter fraud issue not dealt with? Why is the UN still in business on our soil? Why are millions of dollars going to the UN to support invaders?
Right.
Why is the border still open? Why in the... I'm controlling myself. I'm having a hard time here. Why are they flowing across the flipping border? Why are the governors not mobilizing the National Guard, standing to putting up triple standard concertina wire across the whole bloody length of our border, if that's what it takes?
Right.
And shooting the coyotes and shooting the cartel members that come within sight and stopping this.
Well, exactly, because it's illegal from beginning to end.
They're all involved.
There's absolutely nothing legal about any of it. And for smug little Alejandro Mayorkas to be sitting there during all of these hearings acting like he doesn't have to answer their questions is reflective of the WEF and the UN meetings like they had in Davos, where our elected officials went to sit there and listen to the Secretary General of the United Nations tell all of our elected people to ignore the voters.
Right.
Because they feel they've got the United States in the bag, that nobody's going to do anything and just ignore the voters because, well, he knows that they're the ones in control of all the elections now.
Yeah.
And so what are we going to do about it short of doing something that will
get you thrown in jail or killed.
Cause them to bring up an army against us.
Right.
Right. And so the few people that we do have in office that are in the position of being able to do something about this, I mean, bless their hearts, you know, for saying something, but they're not doing enough.
Right.
They're not doing enough. They're not correcting the two biggest issues this nation has, the open border and election fraud.
Yeah.
We're completely helpless so long as we have illegitimate elections, so long as we have an open border where all of our enemies are just flowing in as fast as they can get here.
As long as Soros is funding district attorneys that will choose not to enforce laws, as long as Black Lives Matter and Antifa is allowed to operate on our soil as a street level chaos creating thugs, anti-American communist operatives.
Right.
As long as the people in charge of the FBI and all the other alphabet soup agencies are allowed to violate the law, as long as governors won't stand up because they don't have the cojones to stand up to this illegal action.
Right, exactly. Because I've got another interview that I listened to from the Epoch Times with Lee Smith. He's the one that does Over the Target with the Epoch Times. And he interviewed an author by the name of Matt Palumbo, who wrote a book called The Man Behind the Curtain, which is a book about a very in-depth, detailed book about Soros and how his $40 million has been given to fund the campaigns of 75 different DAs across America.
Oh yeah.
And those 75 DAs, if you put it into perspective of, okay, well, we've got 50 states, and if there was one of these Soros DAs in even just one of those cities in every state, that would just be 50. Well, we've got 75 of them that are paid for and bought by somebody he's not even a resident of this country, right? He's basically a traitorous criminal trying to bring the United States down, and he's paying for it. So he places all of these DAs across the whole United States, which actually their whole jurisdiction influences and has direct influence over one-fifth of the U.S. population right now.
Meanwhile, like, there's nothing we can do about it, right? But we can seize Russian businessmen's yachts and bank accounts and businesses because they invaded Ukraine, right? We can track that money down and we can seize all of that and all of their assets, but we can't do that to somebody who's using their money to overthrow our country.
Right.
That's because the will is not there. And all those people got to go. They've got to go.
Right. And so how does that even happen? What do we do to get rid of these illegal DAs? I mean, that's treasonous. You can't be funded by somebody that is trying to bring down the United States and is funding your campaign and make sure you get into office and then, you know, does all of this illegal garbage.
All the bidding.
Yes, where they refuse to uphold our constitutional laws and refuse to prosecute any of the, like, Black Lives Matter or Antifa that are breaking the law. They refuse to to prosecute any of them, right? Well, so what do you do? Well, it turns out that if you do a little bit of investigation, that that a district or a prosecuting attorney is the legal representative of the state, county, or municipality whose primary function resides in instituting criminal proceedings against violators of state or municipal penal laws. The law of the particular jurisdiction determines whether they are appointed or elected to office and their term of office. And so their job is to make sure, I mean, their primary function is prosecuting criminals, right?
Right.
And so if they refuse to do that, the legislature may, within the restrictions imposed by your state constitution, prescribe the qualifications of the prosecuting attorney, and he or she may be required to reside in the district or satisfy a particular minimum age requisite, right? Well, so district attorneys usually have to be attorneys at law who are licensed to practice in the state, and depending upon the jurisdiction, must have spent a specified number of years practicing law.
Hmm.
Well, and so then it gets into a little bit more of the duty of the district attorney is to ensure that offenses committed against the public are rectified pursuant to the commencement of criminal prosecutions.
Right.
He or she may exercise considerable discretion in ascertaining the manner in which the duty of district attorney should be performed. However, the prosecuting attorney must be fair. Listen to this. This is where it gets interesting because of Bragg and all the other Soros DAs. The prosecuting attorney must be fair and unbiased and refrain from conduct that would deprive the defendant of any constitutional or statutory right. Ding, ding, ding. Statutory right.
That's right.
And yet we have Bragg, who very blatantly had no statutory right.
Campaigned on getting Trump.
Right.
There's no unbiased there. There's
so illegal. He can be removed, right, for that, and should be, needs to be removed immediately, right along with all the other Soros DAs.
Charged and hanged, as far as I'm concerned.
Right. It says here, the legislature may regulate his or her functions within statutory or constitutional limitations. And so, so basically, if they're not doing that, they can be removed from office for misconduct, even just flaws in personal character that render the individual unfit to hold the office and that therefore subject him or her to removal.
Yep.
And so Congress is right on, and they need to be pushing. Him removed, be the first one to be removed, and then the rest need to be pursued in the same exact manner.
That's right. And if you don't, shame on you. I mean, in the most powerful way that I can say, if you have the authority and you're in the position to do something to stop these people and you don't.
Yep. That's massive.
That's all I can say.
Yeah. They're going to
That's where we're at. That's where people who love America are at right now.
Yep.
All right, guys. Well, we're out of time. You join us 7 a.m. Every weekday morning, 7 a.m. Pacific time for the morning commute. Join Lady Liberty and I. And you guys have a blessed and a safe week out there. You be safe and keep your powder dry and keep your coax connections dry. And join us next Sunday if you don't tune in to our morning commute. But we hope that you do. All right, this is John Jacob Schmidt and Radio Free Redoubt. Good night. We'll be right back.